If you and your family are taking a trip to the Orlando area this year, your little ones deserve to stroll in style. Lugging a stroller from home can be an annoying and frustrating part of the first leg of your journey, and renting those hard plastic strollers from Disney theme parks can be both costly and uncomfortable for your kids. Well, I'm here to tell you about the solution to your child transport problems, and that's Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is a Disney-featured stroller and crib provider that does exactly what you're looking for at a great price. Not only is it less expensive than renting a stroller from the theme parks themselves, but these are padded luxury models with features like drink holders, canopies, storage baskets, and more. What's more, you keep this stroller with you for your entire trip, whereas park-rented strollers, you gotta return them before you leave the park that day. This is gonna make those late-night post-fireworks bus stop queues so much easier, and dad's shoulders are gonna thank you for it. So, how does it work? You just go to kingdomstrollers.com and make your selection on the stroller or crib that's right for your child. Just let the good folks over there know a great time for delivery and pickup and where you'll be staying. You can pick your stroller or crib up from the luggage stand at your resort and then drop them back off there at the end of your stay. So pack light, leave your stroller at home, and save up to a whopping 50% versus park price stroller rentals when you visit kingdomstrollers.com.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya, folks. You're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 107 on the White Dragon Podcast Network and powered by Passholder.club, recorded live on April 21st, 2016. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Orlando universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy Peter Mandel.
Kevin Kessler.
Pete, what's going on?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. We don't have a lot of time tonight, so we might not want to small talk chit-chat this week.
I got nothing to say anyway.
That's all right. Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day. And we want to share that magic with you. So, pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete.
Kevin.
What's going on?
Nothing. What's up with you?
It's a big week to be co-owning a Disney news site.
I can imagine.
Yes.
I've seen some of it.
Yesterday was pretty ridiculous. Like, it was just pretty much nonstop, like, trying to write news as it broke.
Right.
I will say, we broke one major story and, got quite, like, we had it up before the Disney Parks blog had it up.
Oh, nice.
Which is impressive, because the Disney Parks blog has all the stuff, like, pre-written.
Right.
And then when it's said, they just, like, click post. So...
You posted them on that.
I got them beat, apparently. I'll tell you which one when we get to it. So it's going to be a bit of a different show this week, folks. There was a lot of news that came out, and we are running on a bit of a tight schedule tonight, which is partially my fault because I was under the weather on Monday, so we couldn't get out on our regular time. Originally, we were going to do the top 10 table service restaurants based on food. So we have pushed that segment back to next week for the e-ticket attraction. And originally, for next week, we had Aaron Cahill from the 2005 Disney World Vacation Planning DVD going to be with us, but she had to push back. So we've tentatively pushed that interview back another week, so it'll be 2 weeks from now. Might be a little bit longer. I'm going to confer that with her next week, and then I'll let you guys know over in our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/2menandthemouse. So this week we are just going to kind of focus on the news because there's quite a bit of it, and there was a lot of breaking news that went down from Bob Chapek's State of the Park address that took place yesterday. So we are all set and ready to jump in, and we're ready to dive into some Disney news. Ready for the news, Peter Mandel?
I sure am.
Right. The news brought to you, as always, by Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Also, all the news is compiled from Passholder.club. which is my website, that we are focusing on all Orlando attraction news with a focus on Disney, all your Disney, Universal, SeaWorld, and like iDrive attractions, Orlando Eye. We're covering all that stuff. So check it out at passholder.club. You can find the Facebook group at facebook.com/passholderclub and our Facebook group or discussion group at facebook.com/groups/passholder. Okay, so ready for some worldwide news?
Yep.
The pricing for fountain and bottled drinks has increased resort-wide in Walt Disney World.
Okay.
Wah-wah.
How bad?
I mean, you know, in some cases, hold on, I'm going to pull up the official press release from the official pricing from Disney right now. This was announced 2 days ago. We had it up on Passholder. So a regular fountain drink was $2.99. It's now up to $3.29. A large fountain drink was $3.29. It's now up to $3.69. Apple juice goes from $2.79 to $3.29. Orange juice goes from $3.99 to $4.29. Chocolate milk from $1.99 to $2.69. Low-fat milk from $1.99 to $2.69. And bottled water from $2.75 to a whopping $3 for water.
Interesting.
Yeah. Here's, I would, coffee, tea, and hot cocoa all remain unchanged, but here's the thing, Peter Mandel, I'd like to point out that a gallon of gasoline down here is like $1.95.
Right, I know.
Which, it's just outrageous to me that a bottle of Dasani water is $3.
I know. It's weird.
Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is, you know. We always say all magic comes with a price and you get what you pay for. So, also, the Walt Disney World Solar Power Facility has gone online. Did you see this?
No, this I didn't see.
Yeah, have you seen, like, a view of what it looks like from, like, aerial?
I did.
Yeah, so it's in the shape of a giant hidden Mickey. Folks from Duke Power and Walt Disney World did a big ceremony where they, like, threw a giant light switch to turn it on. The 22-acre, 48,000-panel facility powers all of Walt Disney World and even the other resorts like the Four Seasons and the resorts on Hotel Plaza Boulevard over by Disney Springs.
Okay.
So it's a lot of energy, a lot of renewable clean energy being produced. So apparently the 48,000 panels is akin to what would make up 1,000 residential home units for solar power.
Was Bill Nye the Science Guy involved?
No, he was not. But, you know, funny you mentioned Bill Nye the Science Guy, because I saw Ellen's Energy Adventure for the first time this past week.
The first time?
Never had seen it before.
Really?
Yeah.
You always freak me out with stuff like that. And what did you think?
You know what? I actually really enjoyed it. I thought
it was
funny.
Fun.
I thought it was fun.
I wish I could ride it for the first time again, because you really care then, you know?
Right. I think I felt like that room with the radio tower was a little excessive.
Oh, yeah, it's just so
but I get it. You're waiting for the other cars to, like, come in the room.
So old school, you know?
I just, like, you know, we walked in. I figured, okay, this is a theater show. Then all of a sudden, the theater starts moving. Like, actually moving. And I was like, what?
And I was like, Tony Stark comes on, and he's like, renewable energy.
Yep, this is actually really cool. Like, I was a big fan of it. You know, if... you know, pretty all-star cast too. Ellen, Bill Nye the Science Guy, Jamie Lee Curtis, and Alex Trebek. The dinosaurs, you know, I feel like they were like, how do we make this not boring? You know what we should do? We should throw in some dinosaurs.
I like all the dinosaur stuff.
I like it too. Okay, so heading over to the Springs, the Disney Springs. So the Marketplace is going to be opening this spring. It's going to be opening in waves, the Town Center Marketplace. It's going to be opening in waves starting May the 15th and going all the way through the summer into mid-July. So there's a lot of shops, like more than I realized were going to be here, that are opening up. Like every, like you got like things from, you know, there's like Uniqlo and, you know, like big name stores like that you would find in a mall.
How do you feel about that?
I mean... I don't know. I don't love it. Like I don't love the huge influx of like the Art of Shaving and like non Disney related stores.
Right. I know.
But I mean, you know, they're turning it into an outlet mall.
Right. But you know, at the same time, every store can't be a Disney store. You know what
right.
I mean?
This is true. And you know, like I feel like You know, and again, a lot of people actually leave Disney property to go to the premium outlets that are
out there.
It's
a big thing.
Yeah, so I guess Disney is making their own premium outlets in this instance. However, I still feel like people will go outside of Disney for it because the premium outlets are very cheap.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, you know, these are the outlets where everything costs more.
Yeah, like the outlets, like you buy a Disney shirt at the outlet mall, you could buy a Disney shirt for like $4.99.
Right.
So, you know. But have you ever heard of the cast member connection? Cast connection?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, a couple of my friends wanted to take me there. It's for those of you that don't know, if you know a cast member, it's great. It is basically a cast member store where only the cast members have access to it, and they take you what do you call it? Like it's all like the old merchandise that they're pulling off the shelves.
Yep.
So it's, you know, like stuff from like last season, but it's at a tremendous markdown. Like sometimes like 50, 60, 70, 80% off. So if you know a cast member, they can get you in. It's only for cast members, though. I think it's over by Animal Kingdom, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, you should go. Let me know what they have.
Yeah, I definitely want to do that. Okay, so moving on. Okay, so remember I talked about B.B. Wolf's sausage company?
Yeah.
To the Big Bad Wolf. There are a couple other things that are coming right to that exact area. Also, it's going to be a crepe shop called Aristocrapes.
Okay, that's cool.
And it looks like there are cats on the sign, so I'm assuming it's themed to the Aristocats.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I'm super duper excited. I like when they take like old Disney movies and theme stuff to it.
Yeah, I mean, they need some love, you know?
Yeah, and
you know,
like I love the Friar's Nook in Magic Kingdom because it's themed to Robin Hood. It's the only thing in all of Walt Disney World, I believe, that's themed to Robin Hood.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Exactly. But yeah, like, you know, B.B. Wolf Sausage Company, then you're going to have the Aristocrapes, and then you have Peter Mandel. As long as you've known me, there's been one thing I've been saying Walt Disney World needs.
Sharks.
No. Pretty much the opposite of sharks. Poutine.
You have said that.
Yes. The Daily Poutine is going to be opening up right next to them.
Okay.
This is going to be... So for those of you that don't know, poutine is the national food of my adopted country of Canada. I'm not actually from Canada. I've never been to Canada. I just love Canada. So let's just agree to accept that and move on. So poutine... What poutine is, for those of you that don't know, it's French fries with brown gravy and cheese curds. But, like, in Canada, there's lots of other variations of it. Like, you could add chicken to it. You can add, like... You can add vegetables. And the only place to get poutine currently is in the Canada Pavilion at Le Cellier. And they've got some amazing poutine there. But now we're going to have just, like, a regular poutinery, which is actually the name for a poutine establishment, is a poutinery.
Huh.
I don't know if you knew
They must sell really well, you know?
It's the national food of Canada. So, yeah, it does sell pretty well. There was poutine in Walt Disney World outside of Le Cellier, but it's gone now. The waffle fries at the Golden Oak Outpost in Frontierland sold like waffle fries with brown gravy and cheese curds. So it was as close to poutine as you can get. But they don't have that anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So before we get into the parks, I'm sorry, there's water park news this week. So Blizzard Beach has reopened, Peter Mandel.
Oh, good.
It's reopened. However, it does. Slush Gusher and Summit Plummet remain closed.
Oh.
I got to wonder, what is going on with these two slides? And why has it been going on and off for a year now?
I mean, be honest. Let's say you went there tomorrow, right?
Right.
Your friends want to go. You're kind of guilted into going.
I have a free
ticket. Would you go on one of those two rides if they were open?
Yeah, I feel like I would have to do Summit Plummet at least.
Even with the fact it closes all the time.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Ugh, yeah. You ever see Caddyshack 2?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, like when the dude's going down the water slide and all of a sudden they just turn the water off.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always afraid. I'm afraid of that happening while I'm going down Summit Plummet.
Yeah, that'd be no good.
Yeah. I honestly couldn't tell you what Slush Gusher is. I've never really seen it or gone on it. But when I was there, when I was 12, I talked a big game about Summit Plummet and then I never went on it.
Oh. I don't know if I could do it. And I love water rides.
But like,
I like slides.
Do you like the water rides where like you go straight down, like it's a body slide?
Yeah, I don't mind that, actually. I'll tell you what my problem with that ride would be. I don't know if I could wait on that line that's pretty much like the ladder, yeah, you know, the stairs.
Yeah, it's pretty much, and it's pretty much always there.
Does that sound crazy?
No, I mean, not crazy at all. I totally get that.
Like, I feel like if I could just walk up and focus and go to the top and then be like, oh my gosh, I'm way too high up here, I could do it. Do you know what I mean?
Right, absolutely.
But if I have to stand on that line the whole time, I don't know if I could do that.
Right, and then you're watching yourself get further and further up onto the slide.
Yep.
I think one day you got to do a Disney water park.
I can't see that ever happening.
Really? Never, ever?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, really, the kids are already 10 and 7. Wouldn't I have done it already?
Yeah, that's very true. You probably would have. But, like, you know, you don't think Ethan's going to hit, like, this thrill-seeker age when he's a teen and want to, like, go to the water park and...
I mean, listen, it's a possibility. My son does share a lot of my fascination with, like, you know, the parks, like, maybe the nuances of the parks, let's say.
Right.
So he's not just like, you know, let's ride that roller coaster 800 times.
Right, but do you think maybe one day he's going to want to do it just to be a completionist?
I mean, right after he does mini golf, probably.
I mean, listen, as a completionist, like, I want to do Tom Sawyer Island. I don't want to do it. I want to do
I
it
did
to
it last
say
time.
I did
it. It when we were there.
How was it?
It was fun. You know, it was fun because I had kids. Kevin, if you go over there, you're going to be like, wow, I don't know what to do here. You know, my main, you know, I'm a collector. This is what I do, right, for a living. And my biggest collection is not comic book stuff. I mean, it is really. But, you know, Disney's like
my
real
thing. Who are you kidding?
But, you know, if there's one thing we learn in collecting Disney or Star Wars even, you know, something like that, there's no completionist. And it's kind of that way about Disney World. I mean, could there be a completionist? Yeah, I mean, I guess so. But you can't go into it thinking, I'm going to do everything.
Right.
You just can't.
I mean, over time, you could do everything. I mean, like, so... Oh, by the way, when you went there and you were taking the little raft over, did you see the alligator?
No.
There apparently is an alligator that plies the waterway there, like a real live alligator.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and I have named him Julian.
Okay.
I don't know why, that's just the name that I gave him. So yeah, Julian apparently, I guess he doesn't come out much when people are present because, you know, he just wants to bob around with his head barely out of the water. Julian's kind of camera shy. Last time he was on camera, people were not nice to him. So,
I will say that riding over on that little raft is probably the best part.
I can imagine that being cool. Like, I mean, as long as you don't see Julian, I can imagine it being cool.
Although I did get a lot of cool pictures over there.
Have you also heard about the cats?
I have heard about this. This isn't true, though, right?
No, apparently it is 100% true, and I will tell you, I have seen a cat.
Really?
I did. I saw a cat over by the Rapunzel bathrooms one time.
Hmm. I always assumed it wasn't true.
So the story, if you guys don't know, is in both Disneyland and Magic Kingdom and Walt Disney World, there is basically a colony of feral cats, stray cats, that make it their home. And they're hidden during the day because they don't come out when people are present. But when the last guests leave the Magic Kingdom, apparently it comes alive with felines. Who come out from every which way, and Disney allows it because they hunt the vermin, the rats, the mice, things like that. Do you think, like, I picture this, like, I picture Magic Kingdom just coming alive as, like, this cat city at night.
Really?
I picture, like the last guest leaves and, like, the sentry cat comes out and just, like, meow, meow, and then they all, like, come out. They start operating the rides and like there's big like they're all going on Big Thunder Mountain like meow like with their little paws in the air and then like but like nobody's going on Splash Mountain because nobody wants to get wet.
Right, that makes sense.
Because they're cats and then like they got really, really mad when Pirates all of a sudden gets you wet. You get like a cat driving the Jungle Cruise, it's like cracking cat jokes and stuff like that.
I mean, I would say this is completely possible.
I would say it's more than possible. I would say it's probable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say that I think these cats need to go to other places, too, because I was in Epcot one night. We're walking around World Showcase. Peter Mandel, I saw a rat the size of a chihuahua.
Yeah, but it's probably just like, you know, Ratatouille stuff.
Yeah, I think he was heading in the direction of the France Pavilion. So, yeah. It's all fine as long as it's in the France Pavilion. I also saw Ride at the Beach Club once.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Big one. Ran right across the street.
Hmm.
Not the street, like the walkway out by the pool.
Right.
Yeah, so there. And, I forgot to tell you, speaking of animals, I had another animal encounter this past week.
Oh, great. What is it?
Okay. So, you know Min and Bill's Dockside Diner?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I always want to eat there. I've never gotten anything there.
Yeah. So, we're at Min and Bill's Dockside Diner. And one of the things about Min and Bill's is ducks tend to congregate there.
Okay.
Because, you know, my uncle Tony always says that Disney World is the best place in the world to be a duck.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah. And, you know, the ducks, it's one of the few places where, like, if you love ducks and you enjoy ducks walking up to you, then this is the place to be, because these ducks do not fear you.
Yeah, when we were there not that long ago, going to Pirates, there was, like, a mother duck. And when I say, like, 8 little tiny, like, just born ducks, I mean, yeah. Kevin, I've never seen anything so small in my life. Yeah. Just walking across the walkway. Like, in the midst of, like, all these people, like, they didn't care.
Oh, they don't care. They love people because people feed them.
Yep.
So anyway, there's a male and a female duck, and I'm sitting at the table enjoying a pulled pork mac and cheese, and I'm in the unfortunate company of hosts of the Extra Magic Hour, Dimitri Ravanas and Anne Ravanas.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how it happened, but I ended up walking around with our arch nemesis. So there's a duck like on the ground, like under our table ish. And the female duck is like next to me pretty much on the hedge next to me. And now I usually like with ducks, like I don't mind ducks. Like I've always enjoyed ducks as a child. All of a sudden the female duck just starts quacking. Quack, 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 quack. And she's quacking down at the male duck who starts quacking back at her. Peter okay. Mandel, they're having like a duck quack argument, and I'm literally in the middle of it. And it's like when you're out with two friends and they get into like who are a couple and they get this big fight and you're kind of just like, hey guys, like maybe we should all calm down. This is what was going on.
Now, is this your subtle way of saying this was Dimitri fighting?
No, Dimitri was
like, hey, my friend really thinks no, like that kind of thing.
No, Dimitri was looking on in wonder okay. while these ducks literally had a domestic like issue around me. So finally, I guess the male duck made his point because the female duck promptly emptied her bladder right next to me.
Do you think that they were talking about you?
In no way, shape, or form do I not think that. Like, they were totally right. talking about me.
Right.
I think that...
it's clearly the sign of some kind of psychosis.
I'm pretty
yes.
sure the male duck was a fan of Two Men and the Mouse.
Okay.
And the female duck is one of the three fans of the Extra Magic Hour. So, you know, like, they're arguing over whose show is better. The male duck clearly won the argument when he was like, nobody listens to the Extra Magic Hour. And the female duck then was like, well, I pee on Two Men and the Mouse, and then peed right next to me.
Huh. So she missed.
She missed, yeah. She had horrible aim. I did try to trick Anne into sitting in it, but it didn't work.
Hmm. You know, I had duck when we went to... The Chefs de France. Well,
maybe that was it. Maybe they were like, actually, you know what? And I had duck when we went to Morimoto Asia.
It was duck two ways. It was delicious.
Wow. So yeah, another animal story for you.
This one didn't end, you know, with you in terror.
No, but I almost got peed on by a duck. And if I had gotten peed on by a duck, there would have been a reckoning. And by a reckoning, I mean I would have been really skeeved out. I would have ran to the bathroom and washed my arm.
Right.
It was very close, though. So, all right. Before we get to the park news, we are going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to hear from our wonderful sponsors and the rest of the White Dragon Podcast Network. And we'll be right back with the rest of the news this week. So stay tuned. More Two Men and the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier, makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. very easy to work with and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You give them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weicker autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weicker.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. On a Walt Disney World vacation, have you ever let your Magic Band account balance get out of control? We all have. Don't lose track of your vacation expenses. Manually track and budget your spending while at Disney World with Magic Band Budget, an iOS app available in the iTunes App Store. Magic Band technology is great, however, spending can get a little out of control quickly because it's so easy and fun to use. Save money by tracking and budgeting your expenditures before you get an unpleasant surprise when your bill arrives upon checkout. Magic Band Budget is the only app of its kind designed for quick and easy input so you can enjoy your vacation with your family while keeping yourself at ease knowing your exact Magic Band balance. Just listen to this review. I just used this on my 10-day trip to Walt Disney World and it worked very well. Entering the receipts for our 6-person family on the go saved a lot of time. We actually changed some of our eating behaviors as the food budget began to explode. Thanks for such a useful app. Magic Band budget features include a personalized trip budgeting tool set for your spending limits, an easy input expense tracker with graphs and percentages of budget used, a customizable countdown clock with Facebook integration, a helpful vacation savings fun tracker, tips, tricks, and so much more. Download Magic Band Budget today in the iTunes App Store or by visiting magicbandbudget.com. Do you want to embrace the inner gourmet in your life? Do you tire of a life of hot dogs, ramen noodles, and Pop-Tarts? Do you long to wow your loved ones with homemade delicious meals and chuck that kid cuisine in the trash? Well, good thing we've got thecookandwookie.com. The Cook and Wookie is a food and recipe blog designed to walk you through recipes that will dazzle your dinner table. Tim Elbing is our Wookie host, and he will take you on a culinary journey that will make you and all of your dinner guests thankful at your next Life Day feast. So let the Wookie win your loyalty, folks, and head over to thecookandwookie.com. That's thecookinwookie.com. Fire up your oven, and may the forks be with you.
Do you like the Disney parks? I do too. So does my little sister. That's why we started a podcast about them. Hi, I'm Dimitri Rivanis. The name of our show is The Extra Magic Hour. You can hear new episodes each and every Thursday here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. You can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, in addition to telling you what we love about the parks and doling out some news and tips, we'll do something a little different. We'll tell you what we hate about the parks, where the mouse can improve, and we'll do some fighting. Well, not fighting. We call it friendly debate. Things that Disney fans have been debating and arguing about forever and ever. You'll hear them played out in real time between a brother and a sister every Thursday right here on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hi there. This is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
And we're back, folks, with more Two Men and the Mouse on this all-news episode. So we're about to dive into the second half of the show here. And the second half of the show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers for all your stroller rental needs and crib. If you need a crib or stroller in Walt Disney World, check them out at kingdomstrollers.com and stroll in style. Okay, so Magic Kingdom news. First off, which is sponsored by Magic Band Budget. Don't lose track of your vacation expenses. Manually track and budget what you are spending while at Walt Disney World with Magic Band Budget on the iOS App Store or visit magicbandbudget.com. A new princess is coming to the Magic Kingdom.
Saw this.
Yes, Elena of Avalor.
What do you think?
This is a new show that's coming. Like, it's a spinoff of Sophia the First, I believe. I think they said they were debuting her on Sophia the First and then bringing her in.
Okay.
Now, here's my question. Do you think she's a face character or a head character?
I'm going to say face.
Judging by the way the character is drawn, I would say so, too, because she's older than Sophia.
Well, honestly, if they're representing her as a princess, now I understand that Sophia is not a face character, but you would think that they want this character to have, like... Yeah, I mean, think about it. When they brought Sophia into the fold, it wasn't like, and you're going to be able to meet her. I mean, it took a while for them to really do that. You know what I mean?
But Sophia is also a little kid, so...
Yeah. Yeah, so this is different. I think this is going to be definitely a face character.
And she is the first ever Latin American princess.
Saw that.
Which was supposed to be Sophia, but it didn't quite work out that way.
I know. I was a little confused when I read that, but...
Well, because they took that back. Like, they were like, Sophia is the first Hispanic princess. And then, like... people freaked out because they said she wasn't Hispanic enough.
Okay.
I guess she's like half Hispanic or something like that, and they got really mad. So Disney took it away, and they were like, now you don't get one. And now they've put it back in the form of Elena of Avalon.
Okay.
So we know she's coming to Magic Kingdom. I didn't see a release date for that, though. Peter Mandel, you might want to get that phone, because I called this... the Wishes dessert party has expanded into the former FastPass Plus area.
Yeah, you did call that.
Yep, I told you they wanted to make you pay for it. People with day of reservations to the Wishes dessert party, after they have their dessert in the Tomorrowland Terrace, as per usual, they will then be relocated to the Plaza Gardens on Main Street USA, which is the former FastPass Plus area. Now, people who had advance reservations will have the option to either stay in the Tomorrowland Terrace or move over to the Plaza Gardens as well. I would say the best bet would be to move to the Plaza Gardens anyway, because it's a better view.
Right.
I've always felt the Tomorrowland Terrace is kind of an interesting place for the dessert party, because I really feel like you don't get a great view of Wishes from there.
You know, having done it, I agree with you. It's not optimum.
Yeah, so I mean, like, so if you can have your desserts and whatnot, and then move over into the Plaza Gardens, I would say that's probably a good bet.
I mean, sounds good. It's still overpriced, but
yeah, $59 for adults and $35 for children ages 3 to 9. You can book that by calling 407 WDW Dine, and they take same day reservations starting at 10:30 a.m. every morning. And you can make those reservations over in the Tomorrowland Terrace restaurant, which is, as you're on Main Street USA, if you're coming down Main Street USA, right when you get to the end of the street as the hub opens up, make a right and follow it straight down towards Tomorrowland, and it's right there, kind of like on the side.
I love it. You can make same day reservations. You can't say that about much in Disney.
No, not about much, but these dessert parties, I definitely think so. So the After Hours event happened.
Okay.
Disney was calling it a quote unquote sellout. However, I've heard different things from other people.
Okay.
Supposedly, this event sold so poorly that Disney had to open the doors for free to DVC members in hopes that they would come in the parks and spend money.
Okay.
So
that sounds about right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had heard the reported numbers that I've heard, and this is not official. This is not confirmed by Disney. This is just numbers that were kind of flying around the blogosphere. So take it with a grain of salt. People were saying the event should have been able to hold 3,000 people, and instead it drew about 1,000.
I can't believe it got that many people.
Yeah. But you know what? Like, the people were posting on Twitter, like, 5-minute wait for Peter Pan. Like, they were like, so I guess people were happy with it. Just not with that price tag.
How much was the price tag?
$150. $149.99.
Man, that's just crazy.
It doubled the price of Not So Scary and Very Merry.
Yeah, I mean, the difference there, though, is for me, like, I'm not going to Not So Scary being like, I want to ride every ride. So I understand people wanting to do that, but...
Just keep in mind, though, that, like, a day's admission is not included with this.
Right. Right. You know what? I think it's crazy. I can't imagine people doing this. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't let it affect my trip. You know? So,
this is
whatever.
True.
People want us to do it.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, if people want to spend this money, then, you know, it's not something Disney's making. It's not like they're like, you must pay this to get into the Magic Kingdom on this day. And it takes place. It starts at like 11 o'clock. So it really doesn't affect me. So if people want to pay that money, that's on them. It's just not something I would personally do.
Right.
Okay, so in Epcot news, we have a release month for Frozen Ever After. Not a date, but a month.
Okay.
It's going to be opening up in June, Peter Mandel.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. Is there a Mandel trip on the books at the moment?
No. No, doesn't mean, you know, there's not one in the mental books.
Right.
But...
I will talk off the air.
Yeah, I mean, I've hinted to you about what I'm going to do, I think.
Yeah, but anyway, Frozen Ever After, confirmed for this June, and with Frozen Ever After comes the Royal Summer House as well. The storyline of that being that this is Anna and Elsa's summertime vacation cabin.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it? I saw they took some behind-the-scenes video during the press event this past week, and it looks really neat. Like, it's a really cool-looking area, and from what I've seen, standing on tiptoes outside the construction walls, it looks very detailed.
Okay.
I mean, as we should expect from Disney. However, we do have an official release date now for Soarin' Around the World.
When is that?
This is the story that we broke on passholder.club.
Okay.
That is going to be June the 17th, one day after Shanghai opens up.
Hmm.
What do you think about
interesting.
That?
Interesting. That's very interesting.
Very, very interesting. I agree. How are you feeling about that? Like, are you excited?
Yeah, I am.
I'm going to be really upset if Patrick is not involved.
Oh, I don't think he will be.
I don't think he will be either, and that's going to upset me. Like, I got to hear, Soarin' to Tower, we're ready for takeoff.
You know I love that guy. I mean, I watch every single show he does.
Yep.
I love him on Skylanders, the video game. I love that guy. I get it. I'd be okay with change. Disney pre-shows are awesome. I saw that one a million times.
Yeah, this is true. They also released some footage, one of which was the Great Wall of China, showing you that you'll be flying over.
Right,
the
Great Wall. We knew they were doing that one.
Well, yeah, because it's opening in Shanghai. So right. I guess it was always like Shanghai has to get the global opening of the ride. And then everybody else gets it a day later. DAC news. We got some DAC news this week. You ready for this?
Yep.
All right, so the Animal Kingdom, while Rivers of Light has been pushed back pretty much indefinitely at this point, the nighttime entertainment is coming Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
So, and I will be there, folks, reporting back for you guys. I believe I'm probably going to go Saturday.
I can't wait to hear about that.
Yeah, so this is going to be Kilimanjaro's Safaris After Dark, which I've heard they put in a giant LED setting sun. over by like the termite mounds and stuff like that to like simulate a sunset.
No. Are you being serious?
100% serious.
No. Yep. I thought you were just messing with me.
No, no, no.
Are you serious?
No, I have that confirmed.
They put like a fake sun.
Yeah.
In the savannah.
Like some kind of effect, yeah.
Oh, wow. Really?
I don't think it'll be visible during the day, but I think at nighttime it'll probably look pretty cool.
Yeah. Doesn't that seem weird?
Why don't we just put the poachers back in while we're at it, right?
Seriously. I mean, I'm not knocking it. Maybe it's awesome.
Okay, so the Tree of Life Awakenings. Did you see this video?
I believe so.
Tree of Life Awakens.
Yeah, saw it.
It's basically, it's Celebrate the Magic, but with the Tree of Life, and it looks unbelievable. I'm not sure if this is like a full show, or if this is just something that's going to be happening throughout the night.
Hmm.
It looked to me like it's something that's just going to happen throughout the night, but
I'm okay with that.
I would love it because you'll constantly be looking at the Tree of Life as you walk around the park.
Yeah, and you know what? You can't see the Tree of Life from every place. So, you know, instead of having to be somewhere when this happens, I would like it if you could just kind of see it all the time.
Because also, if it's a show, like that main road in Animal Kingdom, that's not built for that.
Right.
I really don't think it's built for like a Tree of Life like show.
I'm surprised at how excited I am about all this Animal Kingdom stuff.
I am too, man. You know what's fun? Like, Cinderella Castle obviously is my favorite, like, weenie is what Walt used to call them. But, like, you know, landmark of the parks. However, I do feel that the Tree of Life is the most impressive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I went, you know, for my first trip ever, I mean, I saw all four of them. You know what I mean?
Yep. And,
well, three of them? Because MGM at the time, I don't really know what theirs was, but
it was the Earful Tower,
right? Okay, well then, and I would have agreed with you then too. I mean, now of course we have such fondness for, you know,
right,
like the castle and stuff,
right.
But yeah, no, I totally would have agreed with you.
That
it's
tree
very
is top
cool.
notch. It's awesome.
It's great.
Okay, so moving along. Now, Rivers of Light is not opening yet. The theater area that it's going to be taking place in is going to be used for an interim show called Jungle Book. Where is it? I'm sorry. Jungle Book Alive with Magic.
Right.
Which I'm assuming is based on the new Jungle Book and not the animated classic.
Right.
Did you see the new Jungle Book?
I did. Did you?
No, I haven't gone yet. I'm going to try to go this week.
I liked it.
I got to see it before Civil War, because once Civil War comes out, I'm not going to see it.
Yeah. You know, I took Ethan was almost more excited about this Jungle Book movie than any movie I can think of in recent memory.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's very an animal, so he couldn't wait.
Okay.
Good.
I'm hearing wonderful things. My parents saw it and loved it.
Yeah, everyone sees it and loves it. It's the greatest thing ever. Maybe because I had that in my mind. I didn't love it, but don't get me wrong. I really liked it a lot.
Here's the thing about this movie. Like, Disney needed one of these live-action movies to hit.
Right.
They really, really needed it. However, I don't really agree with the placement of it. Because Disney's going to beat it. Like, I feel like its earning potential is going to be severely cut in half. But this is also Disney shooting itself in the foot, because Captain America comes out like in 2 weeks.
Right. Well, I think they know their window for this isn't giant.
Yeah.
And
I
it's a different,
so.
It's also a different movie. You know what I mean?
How is Chris Walken as King Louis?
Didn't love that part.
No. Yeah. That's the one thing I've heard negativity about.
The King Louis part just takes you out of the movie entirely.
Because isn't it just like, oh, like, because it's like not dark and gritty at all. It's Christopher Walken. And everyone that I've talked to is just like, you're like, oh, wow, that orangutan is Christopher Walken.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little dark and gritty. I mean, I get what they were going for, but whatever.
Also, not all of these live action remakes need to be dark and gritty is my big thing.
No, I know. I don't need any of them to be dark and gritty.
No, I don't need dark and gritty in my Disney. I don't need Disney animated classics turning into Batman versus Superman.
Right.
That's not making its $1 billion, by the way.
No, yeah. We had this conversation. Remember when you were still like really high on it?
I was trying really hard, but nope.
Sorry, next one I'll do better.
Yeah. But that's something about Disney that, like, they're like, okay, our Rivers of Light show is not going to open on time. Let's just pull a show out of thin air about the Jungle Book.
Yeah, but I mean, they have so many people who can do stuff like that. I mean,
I mean, it's impressive.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see this, and I'm happy for the Rivers of Light, because like they casted everyone, like they are cast members to work for Rivers of Light, and then all of a sudden we're just like, oh, you know, we trained you, but now you have no hours because the show's pushed back, so now these guys get to work, which I'm happy for. So so now they've announced the operating hours, the extended operating hours from May 27th to July 2nd. The park will be closing daily, Peter Mandel, at 11 p.m.
Okay.
I cannot fathom being in Animal Kingdom at 11 p.m.
I can't either, and I'm surprised. I didn't think it was going to be that late. But
me neither.
It's pretty cool.
Now maybe we'll get some evening extra magic hours for it in the future as well.
Here's my question.
Okay.
I would like to know how lit this park is going to be.
That's my question as well. I would assume it has to be pretty lit.
I know this is going to sound crazy, but there are times where you're walking through World Showcase.
It's dark.
And you're like, well, it's pretty dark over here. And you know what? You would think it's only like that when you're like alone. No, there have been times where it's jam-packed for Food and Wine. And I'm like, it is so dark, I can barely see all these people I'm walking into.
It gets gets really dark like when they turn the torches on.
Yeah.
But the, yeah, like I'm wondering that myself as well. Like when it was really dark, that's when I saw the rat.
Okay.
Just saying. I feel like I wouldn't mind seeing a rat in Animal Kingdom, though, because it's, you know, they're animals. They belong there.
Yeah. It's part of the show.
Yep. Okay, moving along. And Tiffin's Restaurant will also be opening in Animal Kingdom this Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
Yep. Reservation details will be made available on May the 20th. I'm not sure exactly what they're doing with those reservations, but, you know, it might kind of be like Skipper Canteen, where it's like walk-ups for the first, like, couple days.
Right.
Yeah. Now we've got some Disney's Hollywood Studios news sponsored by thecookinwookie.com for all your recipe needs. Check out thecookinwookie.com. Walt Disney One Man's Dream is going to be hosting a preview for Through the Looking Glass from May 6th through June the 12th.
Are you excited about this movie?
No.
I got to tell you something. Ethan loves the first one.
Oh, really?
He can't wait for this movie.
Have you told him yet that Tim Burton's a hack?
No.
Like, you sit him down and be like, son, listen, I need to tell you something.
And I don't think I can, because Tim Burton, like, is responsible for a lot of movies I loved in my teenage years.
Yeah, but he's a hack.
I understand that. But, you know, it doesn't matter, because this is also, Alan Rickman's last movie, and Ethan, this just has everything Ethan could possibly want to see in it.
Right.
Luckily, I don't think I'm going to be seeing it. Pretty sure my wife will take him to see this.
Good.
But
I tried to watch that first Alice in Wonderland, and I was like, this is abominable.
I never saw it. And you know I love, what's his name? Who's the bad guy in it?
Johnny Depp?
Nope. Oh, the guy from Back to the Future?
From Back to the Future?
Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd?
Nope.
Michael J. Fox?
Nope.
The other guy?
Yeah.
Who did he play?
He was Marty's dad.
Oh, George McFly?
Yeah.
Drawing
a blank on his name.
Me too. He was very difficult to work with, apparently, though.
Yep.
But anyway, yeah, so that's going to be replacing the Jungle Book preview that's currently in there.
Okay.
We got a preview at the State of the Parks address from this past week for Toy Story Land.
Okay.
Did you see the Slinky Coaster video?
I did.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Let me ask you a question. I might be going crazy here. I watched it yesterday. Did that just debut, or did we see that already?
No, that just debuted.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know why I feel like I saw this already.
No, you didn't. It's moving rather slow, and apparently they're saying that's the speed it's going to go.
Well, that might be,
It just, to me, it kind of just looks like another Barnstormer, but I'm okay with this because I feel like DHS needs more rides for kids.
Right.
So, what the one thing I was actually trying to do, like, you could see the back of the Chinese theater in the video.
Right.
And so I was trying to figure out where it's going to be.
Yeah.
Based on that. Because I'm a geek like that.
I did that with that 360 view of the Disneyland Star Wars lands.
Yeah, but I saw that. We'll talk about that in a sec. The concept art for Toy Story Land changed a bit, too. Like, they got rid of a lot of those rock formations that were originally over by the Because originally the Slinky Coaster was supposed to go down over like rock formations and stuff, and they looks like they took all that away. It looks like a long coaster, though. Like, it looks like it's going to stretch the whole length of the land.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind
of
cool.
I think that's really cool. I'm a big fan of that. Also, they released some information on the alien swirling saucers, which is also going to be there. The aliens from Toy Story are going to be flying in flying saucers trying to capture your rocket with the claw. And they will be playing what is being referred to as, quote, space jazz music.
Okay.
Yeah. In further news, ground has been broken for Star Wars Land, which apparently they're saying is going to be called the Star Wars Experience.
Ooh.
What do you think about that?
Don't like it.
You know what's funny? Like, I'm not sure how official that is, but like, it's also like they said it recently, and it's also what Harrison Ford had called it in the Disneyland special, and I think like nobody knew, like nobody put two and two together.
That'll change.
Maybe. Okay, so ground has been broken, and they released a 360 view of the site at Disneyland.
Right.
Which, I mean, first I got excited. I'm like, oh, 360 view of the, you know, of the site. And then I realized it was Disneyland, and I was like, oh.
But I like that you can see Big Thunder. So I was trying to do the same thing you were doing.
Yeah. Yeah, you can definitely see Big Thunder from there. You know, obviously, Disneyland's got all the land cleared already. And
right.
Hollywood Studios, though, they're booking, man. Like, I've heard that most of the Lights, Motors, Action Theater is gone already.
I believe it. They don't mess around.
No, not at all. And, you know, like, Disaster Canyon is just a smoking crater in the ground at this point, so. But yes, it's also been confirmed by the Disney food blog that there will be a Star Wars dinner club in the new Star Wars Land.
I mean, we kind of had the idea from those pictures, so that's cool.
It'll be a table service restaurant with live music. It is not the cantina. The cantina will be something completely separate, which I assume will be quick service.
Okay.
Let's see. What else? Oh, we got some SeaWorld news this week.
Some what?
Some SeaWorld news. News about SeaWorld. Oh. The Mako coaster, which we had spoken about earlier, which is debuting this June. We spoke about this like a week or two ago. They have released a point of view look at the coaster, like a video.
Okay, kind of like the Slinky Dog one?
Yeah. No, because it's like an actual video. It's not a rendering.
Oh, okay.
And it's point of view. It's like you're riding it.
Right.
I got to say, Pete, it looks pretty awesome because like it's fast and it doesn't go upside down. So like I'm there for it.
That's kind of cool.
It's a standing coaster, too.
Oh, any big drops?
Not like huge, didn't look like. It just looked like it goes fast and far. So. Universal Studios, we got a little bit of news here. They've announced some info for the upcoming Halloween Horror Nights, which is kind of the adult version of Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, because it is very scary. They have announced the first of their haunted houses that are returning, which is going to be the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house.
Now, I don't remember. Did you do these?
I didn't do Halloween Horror Nights. No, when in August, when I re-up my pass, I'm going to get like the one that comes with the Halloween Horror Nights ticket.
Okay.
So this is going to be select nights from September 16th to October 31st. We had discussed this a couple months ago when it was rumored, but Comcast Corporation, who owns NBC Universal, has confirmed a 475-acre land purchase adjacent to Universal Studios on Universal Boulevard off of iDrive. That's pretty substantial.
Yeah, it is.
475 acres. To put it in perspective, Peter Mandel, Magic Kingdom is 107 acres. Hollywood Studios is 135. Epcot is 300. And Animal Kingdom is 500.
So what do you think it's going to be?
Honestly, they can go one of two ways. They can make a ginormous park, or they can make a smaller park and resorts, which is what I think they're going to end up doing.
Yeah, I can't help but think that they really want to put some more hotels in there. So
they definitely do. They're trying to make it. They're trying basically to.
They also don't need a giant park.
They don't need it. Yeah, they don't need a massively massive park. I would say like an Epcot size park would be good, or like even like a Magic Kingdom or Studios size park.
So the question becomes: if they do this third park, is there Harry Potter in it?
I would imagine there might be some Fantastic Beasts stuff in there because it looks like that movie might rule. I've heard rumblings. I mean, obviously Nintendo Land, I think, seems like a definite for there.
Right.
And I've heard rumblings of a Lord of the Rings attraction or land.
Really?
I have heard rumblings of that. I don't know how accurate it is. You're into this now, aren't you?
I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah. I don't know how accurate that is, but that was rumblings I was hearing around the blogosphere. Like, oh, it could be this. So, you know, we reported on it on Passholder, and people were throwing out some interesting ideas. I think a third park is a definite.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how big that park's going to be and what's going to be included in it.
You know, it's really interesting because a third park changes the game entirely.
100% changes the game.
I mean, I can do Universal Studios in 2 days, but man, 3 days, now you're talking about why not just go there for a weekend?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And that's the goal. I mean, that's 100% the goal.
I think I would do that.
Mm-hmm. And I you know what? And I think this is good because competition begets creativity. And if Universal is knocking on the door the way they're going to be, it looks like, Disney's going to have to up their game as well. Like maybe some new attractions and a little less dance party.
Right, right.
So, you know, everyone's up in their game, so it's going to be an interesting battle. You know, to put it in wrestling terms, the WWF was never better than when WCW was knocking on their door. So, and that's the news this week.
Seems like a lot of news.
It was a lot of news. So also, that's the show for this week. You ready to head out?
Click.
That's going to do it for Two Men and the Mouse this week, folks. Please look us up on social media. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network. We're on Twitter at White Dragon PN. You can find the show specifically at facebook.com/Two Men and the Mouse. We're on Twitter at Two Men and the Mouse. And our Facebook group is facebook.com/group/Two Men and the Mouse. Also, check out Passholder.club. You can find all the latest Disney news there. facebook.com/Passholder Club or facebook.com/group/Passholder. Also, if you love our good friend Peter Mandel, please check him out at Rogue Comics at 105 North Union Avenue in Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. If you, also go to roguecomics.com where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. If you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, any Disney resort throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, or Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida, please check out our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weigert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. For all the greatest recipes out there, go to thecookandwookie.com, the great recipe blog run by our good friend Tim Helbig. If you want to keep track of your money in Walt Disney World, please download the Magic Band Budget app from the iOS App Store or visit magicbandbudget.com. And if you're renting a stroller or crib in Walt Disney World, please check out our good friends over at Kingdom Strollers, who can be found at kingdomstrollers.com. Thank you so much for joining us again this and every week. Pete, any closing words?
No, I had a good time.
Good
time.
We'll
see you in a couple days.
Yep, absolutely. Please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives. We will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.